Hey, Chris.
Hey, Tim, how are you?
I'm good now. I'm good now. Wait, was that a strikeout? It was a strikeout. So is that the end of the inning? No, it was a foul ball. That's what we're doing right now. We're watching baseball as we record this. How are you?
Pretty good. Okay. Listeners love to find out what happened in a baseball game 3 days ago.
I know, right?
Just like the old days, yeah.
Yeah.
A carrier pigeon delivers the score of the Phillies game.
I'm not going to say when we're recording this, so you have to figure out for yourself when this game was that I'm
when there was a foul tip in a Phillies game.
Oh, yes. A walk. Come on. So there's more information. This is the 35th election show for Hall of Songs. We did an election not too long ago where we had songs from between 1985 and 1989 up for a vote for the Hall of Songs. And you voted, listener, at hallofsongs.com. We're going to tell you some results. We'll do that in 5, 4, 3.
Sipping through cassette tapes at the record store, oh, yeah. The gang of both been hell in the cure and mo, oh, yeah. So, baby, tell me, are you ready for a show? Yeah. The Hall of Songs podcast, so baby, let's go. Through the Hall of Songs. Yeah, it's the Hall of Songs. Yeah, it's the Hall of Songs. Yeah, it's the Hall of Songs.
Cut. I'm sorry, but you're just too darn loud.
Welcome, music lovers and loyal listeners, to Hall of Songs, the podcast in which two men attempt to determine the greatest songs of all time. I'm Tim Malcolm.
I'm Chris Jones.
Did you like the Wayne's World reference I just did there at the top?
I like that. I told you when we do the recording, though, our thing counts down and it does the counter. And I always think of The Simpsons when he goes and he's watching the old newsreels and it does the 5, 4, 3. And then Grandpa Simpson every time goes, here comes two, which I can't get out of my head every time it does the little countdown.
Well, we all have our reference points and this is where we are doing it in this early 90s sort of range here. So, Chris, we had an election, our 35th election. This is what we do on this episode. It's a recap show where, you know, in our podcast, we present the 12 songs, up to 12, but it's always 12 at this point, really. Songs that we think are the best of a given year going forward in time. And then after that episode, we put all those songs on a ballot. The ballot exists at hallofsongs.com. Also on the ballot are songs that were nominated previously, but got to stay on the ballot because they got just enough support to do so. And then you vote at hallofsongs.com for the songs that you think are the best of all time. Those that get at least 2/3 support get into the Hall of Songs. And those that get under 35% support get off the ballot completely. So that's how we do it here. And so this episode here, this 35th election recap episode, will go over the results of that election. Chris, we had some songs from between 1985 and 89 on the ballot. Kind of get into those songs in a second, but before we get into the actual songs and then the results, general thoughts about this election. We didn't have as many songs as usual on the ballot, 19, so one of our smallest ballots ever. So some possibility for a lot of songs getting in here.
Yeah, I mean, there was in the 34th election, there was a decent chance to get some in. I was really excited to see how things shook out. I mean, a ton of the 89 songs on a personal, on a personal level. And it's interesting. I was thinking about this just this afternoon. I sort of approach the voting very differently than approaching, when we're sort of, winnowing down the actual songs. It's like I sort of let my personal feelings take over once they're on the ballot and once it's, once it's the voting. Whereas I try, perhaps unsuccessfully, but try to be more objective, I guess, in some ways when it's like, trying to come up with the ones that we're actually going to talk about.
Yeah, I try to be as objective as I can when it comes to voting, but you can't help but get your own opinion and your own personal preference into your selections when you're making them. So there are some extremely influential songs that we have on every ballot because we typically nominate at least one of those kinds of songs in every episode. And I have to make that decision. Is that influential song truly a Hall of Songs inductee? Is it not? Do I listen to it enough in my life to is it one of my favorites? Does it matter? I don't know. So we have to make those decisions as we do it. And this election was no different, although I don't think there's many really influential songs on this particular ballot. But we'll get into it. Some of the songs that were on the ballot, The earliest were from 1985. Both of those songs were from our Veterans Committee episode, which was a couple of weeks back when we, after every 4 years, decide, let's nominate a couple more songs from those last 4 years, period, that we didn't nominate previously and we thought are still worth it. So those two songs are Into the Groove by Madonna and The Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News. Then we had songs from 86, and I think only one song, True Colors by Cyndi Lauper. And then everything else was from 88 and 89. 87 is off the ballot. A whole bunch of 87 songs have already been into the Hall of Songs. But 88 and 89 represented. We had My Prerogative by Bobby Brown. We had Cult of Personality by Living Color. There She Goes by The Laws. We had a lot of 89 songs. Of course, all the 89 songs that we nominated in our previous main episode. So Express Yourself by Madonna. Pump Up the Jam by Technotronic. The Dance by Garth Brooks. Free Fallen by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Or just Tom Petty, excuse me. Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. A whole bunch of others. Go listen to that 1989 episode to get the full rundown of those songs. If you haven't yet, you won't be able to vote for those songs on this ballot, in this election, but for the next election, which will be coming up very soon, we'll talk about that soon, you'll get to vote on that if you come to our website within the period that that election is open. All right, so of the group that's there, Chris, did you have any predictions going in? Did you think any of these songs would be shoe-ins, or there would be a lot of them, or what?
I don't want to spoil it before we get into it, but I will say, to me, there were two songs that were head and shoulders above the rest going into it. And again, sort of objectively, and then also just sort of the ones that I thought were sort of, you know, more deserving than the rest. So we'll see where those panned out.
I thought there was one song head and shoulders above all the rest, and then about two or three that were on the next tier, very close, but could go either way. And then beyond that, it was a whole bunch of sort of I don't knows. And I think overall the results sort of shake it out the way that both of us kind of thought for the most part. So let's get into it. Again, 66.66666%, two-thirds support of the voters gets a song into the Hall of Songs. And if a song has less than 35% support, it is off the ballot. Anything in between, it stays on the ballot for another round, given that it has only been on the ballot for, at the most, 9 turns. So 10 turns is the most. Chris, let's start at the top. We have one song in the Hall of Songs for sure. Go ahead and induct it.
All right. Absolutely delighted. From 1989, Tom Petty with Free Fallin' gets in with 80% of the vote.
So is this one of the two that you thought was head and shoulders above the rest?
Yes, both. It's like I said on the episode, this was one of my favorite songs of all time. I thought this song would get in, and I actually thought it would probably be the number two vote getter, but I thought it would get in, and I thought it would be, a first ballot getting. I think it's very well deserving. I go back and listen to the episode if you want to hear me wax poetic about Free Fallin', but and how much it's meant to me and, you know, us Gen Xers.
80% of the vote, so a really good response for it, a lot of support. I don't know. I didn't think this was my head and shoulders above the rest. This wasn't my head and shoulders above the rest song. I didn't put it on that second tier either. I thought it was one of those I don't know songs. I like Free Fallin' a lot, and there's a personal connection that I have to it too, but I don't listen to Free Fallin' as an all-time great song. I listen to it as a really good song from its period of time that is one of the 7 or 8 Tom Petty or Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers songs that I think are among the best that he's ever done. There's this, there's American Girl, there's Listen to Her Heart, there's a couple others like from that, The Waiting, you know, like, but I don't know. I guess I don't see it the same way that you do, but you obviously think that this is a very sort of definitive song for the generation.
Yeah, it's fine. I mean, Wildflowers is his favorite album of mine. I love the album from start to finish. And the title track is, to me, like up there with this as far as one of my favorites go. I mean, yeah, it's funny. I think one of the, like, a fair criticism of this podcast might be that the two of us tend to agree too much. It might be more fun if we were completely on the same page. But, you know, but every once in a while, it's funny what to have that, like, because to me, this was an absolute no-brainer to have on the nomination list, and it was an absolute no-brainer to have get in. I didn't think there would be much of a doubt that it would get in, and maybe it's slightly generational. I don't know. Maybe there's, like, I don't know. Maybe it's, you know, geographic. It's like, I mean, Petty's obviously a Florida guy, but, like, maybe us in the Midwest were blasting this more often than, you know, you Philly guys who are stuck listening nothing but Billy Joel and Bruce Springsteen in prog rock. But, you know, I don't know. It's just something about it. Like I said, it's just, like, to me, it was an absolute sort of one that it just sort of jumped off. Like, it, you know, it, like I said, several episodes ago, the only one of mine, the only one that sort of was like that to me that's not in the Hall of Songs is Good Times by Chic, which was the one that was like an absolute no-brainer. And there's probably been 10 to 12 of those since we've gone through. And at this point, they're now all in the Hall of Songs. And this was one, like, this was in that class to me, both like the way I feel about it, but also I sort of thought other people would react the same way.
Don't get me started on Good Times by Chic, okay? Please don't get me started on that.
We're on the same page on that one.
We agree. It's the biggest mistake you voters have ever made. It's funny you say Billy Joel, and since we're like a Billy Joel ancillary podcast, I wonder if we have nominated a couple Billy Joel songs, if any of those were looked at like Free Fallin' and would have gotten into the Hall of Songs. I think of Scenes from an Italian Restaurant. I think of Piano Man. I think of New York State of Mind. I think of maybe an Allentown or something like that, or an Uptown, not an Uptown Girl. We talked about that in our bonus episode. I don't want to make Libby upset. Or something like For the Longest or The Longest Time, right? Like, does one of those songs get in? Because going by the Petty rule, like, you know, these are like really good to me. More above average than most songs, maybe not all time greats, but like, are any of those songs on that level, like a Free Fallin'?
See, I think the answer is no. And I think that's like the fact that you were sort of had to name several songs to try to figure out which one it is why it's not there. And well, it's like, for me, it's like, if you took a look again, I like Wildflowers is his best album and I love that song. But to me, it's like, if you say to, you know, many people that I talk about music with, many people that are sort of casual, it's like, if you say Tom Petty, the reaction is Free Fallin'. It's like, that's sort of the Rorschach test of Tom Petty's. It's like, you say Tom Petty, they say Free Fallin'. There is a reaction to that. And I think that that's like, it makes the, like, songs like that tend to fare better in the voting. I mean, you know, Thin Lizzy, Boys Are Back in Town. It's like, there's no doubt. It's like, we're not sitting there discussing the merits of Cowboy Song or anything like that, as good as the entire album is. But like, I think no with Billy Joel, because I think there might be people who are like, oh, I really like Billy Joel, but I just kind of like this better than that or that. And it's like, yeah, I think if you like Tom Petty at all, you like Free Fallin'. And if you love Tom Petty, you love Free Fallin'. And then again, I think even people who don't like Tom Petty are kind of like, yeah, that's still really good.
For your argument, though, I would say if you said Billy Joel, I would respond with Piano Man. And so I think if we would nominate a Piano Man, it could have done very well. But I don't know. I hear you. I mean, again, I like Free Fallin' a lot. I, you know, great song. I was just surprised to see it as our top vote getter and surprised a little bit to see it get in. Nevertheless, I think it's totally merited. It's a great song. So we're in agreement of that. How about that?
All right, Tim, is that it? Or we got one more, two more, three more?
Well, we have at least one more. We have at least one more. We have a second. That second song is the one that I thought was going to be the Lock, Stock, and Barrel number one pick. It is from 1989, Public Enemy with Fight the Power. This had to have been the other one.
Yeah, this was my number two. I mean, it's interesting. Like, both these songs were on the Rolling Stone top 500 list that came out, you know, I guess about a year ago now. Fight the Power was actually number two. You know, Free Fallin' was up there. It was in like the 200s. It wasn't really, really high. But, you know, those two sort of, again, they jumped off the page to me as ones that were had to get in and were shoe-ins to get in. And, you know, certainly can't complain about, you know, can't complain about this getting in. And it's interesting. I don't know. Go like, let me know your thoughts. And then I have sort of a more overarching feeling about the two songs.
Nothing I'm going to say here is going to be different from what we said in the 1989 episode or what other people have said before about this. It's a quintessential rap song. It is a quintessential song of the moment. It is a quintessential song about police violence and racism and problems that go on in cities across the country and structural racism across America. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's the sound is both very new and fresh for 1989, especially in rap, but it's also borrowing from a lot of things that we had talked about before with funk and even some of the more like electronic dance music that was happening in the 80s. And then it's also part of, like I said, The Times. It's a great song from a great, great, great movie. And those two things, I think you can't separate necessarily. The video is great, too. I mean, everything about Fight the Power is just, you know, again, nothing I can say is like you've all heard this stuff before.
So I was thinking about this a lot after, you know, the results came in. And to me, what I think is interesting is I actually find these songs to be, despite the sound of them, very similar in a lot of ways. And that's like both Fight the Power and Free Fallin' are very much like of a time and of a place. It's like, you know, Fight the Power is. You know, it is a New York song. I mean, it's in the Spike Lee movie and it was written for that movie. Free Fallin' is very much an LA song. And I feel like they're both sort of, I want to be careful about sort of talking about too much of the similarities but I think in a way, because I think that Public Enemy is sort of like what you said, they're sort of talking about this sort of overarching like societal racism and things that are much more important than what Tom Petty was talking about. But I think there is this idea of forces around you and the way that you're like the way that you're responding to that. And to the credit of Public Enemy, their absolute response is, you know, fight the power. This is what you have to do to fight back. This is, you know, and it's like it's sort of this idea of like a call to action. Whereas Tom Petty, I think, understands that like what he's talking about is far, far less important. It is, there's no great importance to this sort of world of LA and bouncing through it, but it still is sort of talking about these things that it's like you're sort of going through life like a pinball. But then both sort of to me have this, I mean, both songs mention Elvis and both sort of have this world of the fact that like it's like Public Enemy to me, it's like the way that line since we did the episode has affected me more. The Elvis was a hero to most, but he never meant shit to me from Public Enemy in a way that it's like you're just constantly growing up and hearing all of this stuff. Right. Mm-hmm, and it's like even like with our show, it's like one of our very first, you know, bonus episodes was about Elvis. And it's like you just sort of are like trained to think that like that's important, whereas like some of the other stuff isn't. And then it's like, you know, the character in Tom Petty, it's like, you know, she's crazy about Elvis, and it's because she's crazy about Elvis because that's what she's heard all her life, and she's sort of, you know, put in that way. And like to me, there's something, again, it's like if Tom Petty took himself too seriously in that song, I think it could be, this would be more, much more of a criticism than it is. But I think it is a way of sort of like understand, like there is a similarity that it is, it's both sort of about the world around you and the way that you are sort of in that world and sort of bouncing around like a pinball, and what can you do about it.
That's a really good point. I didn't even think about the Elvis connection there. That's a really good point to think about what it means to be white growing up and knowing Elvis is there. And I'm sure like adulating Elvis as white people do, and then being black and hearing the name Elvis all the time and knowing that, well, there's all these amazing gifted black artists who came before Elvis who made the music that Elvis also made. And so what the hell, man? And so that's a great, great, great point. So there we are. Free Fallin' is in at 80%, our 78th inductee to the Hall of Songs. And then Fight the Power by Public Enemy with 71% of viewer support is our 79th member of the Hall of Songs. All right. So, Chris, we then get into the list of songs that did not get enough votes to get in, but at least will stay on the ballot for another round, the 36th election. Why don't you start us off with the first batch?
All right, so we had a big chunk that were pretty close together, right over 51%. True Colors by Cyndi Lauper from 1986, Hanging On, 54%. Express Yourself by Madonna, also right there, tied 54%. Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson, also tied with those two at 54%. And then just behind them, Cult of Personality in its second year on the ballot by Living Color with 51%.
Yeah, I wasn't sure about Express Yourself versus Into the Groove. I just felt that one of the Madonna songs would be in that next tier, along with True Colors and Rhythm Nation. So this is exactly how I thought it would sort of shake out here in this second tier of the ballot. Interesting to see how True Colors has fared in this election cycle here. So last time out, they got 54%, 55%. Right before that, they got 46%, 47%. And then the first time it was on the ballot, it got 55%. So it has been exactly where it has been this entire time, essentially. I don't know. Does True Colors ever get enough votes to get in? I think with this electorate right now, it just doesn't get that last bit of support to push it over the edge.
I think that's probably right. I'd be curious to see how people react to the 1990 songs once they go on, and to see if there's, if there's some that... You know, sometimes like people don't react as strongly to the ones that go on their first year, and that allows something to sneak on. But I'd say probably not. My initial reaction, again, I said I thought there were the two that got in that were, sort of head and shoulders above the rest, and that I thought would get in. I was really hoping that there would be a third, and that it would either be Express Yourself or Rhythm Nation would get in. Yeah. I mean, I've talked in the past about Cult of Personality, how much I love that, but with the new ones coming on, it would have been great to either have Madonna or Janet Jackson get in that 89 ballot. Both would have been terrific too, but to have one of those two would have been great.
Yeah, I would imagine, though, that there are still chances for Madonna and Janet Jackson both on the next ballot and probably future ballots with other songs. We'll see. I'm not giving anything away because we haven't really discussed many songs except for 1990, but that's maybe a small spoiler. We'll see. So the next batch of songs staying on the ballot for the 36th election, should I just go through the rest of that group? Probably, right?
Yes. Absolutely.
From 1985, with about 49% support, Into the Groove by Madonna. Then after that, same amount of support from 89, Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode. Getting about 45, 46% support, we have Wicked Game by Chris Isaak. Getting 40% support, Me, Myself, and I by De La Soul from 1989. Then from 1988, getting 37% support is There She Goes by The Laws. And finally, just over 35% support from 89, Garth Brooks Hangs On with The Dance. Thoughts about that group?
I was pleasantly surprised to see Wicked Game up there, you know, where it was, and to Hang On. I didn't really know what to think of that one. And then The Dance by Garth Brooks. I mean, the country songs have really, really struggled. A decent number of them come on during the Veterans Committee and things like that. But, you know, it was way at the bottom of the ones that are surviving, with the fact that surviving is kind of is a victory. And I'm, you know, thrilled that Me, Myself, and I is on the ballot, at least for another time. That's another one that I think, I'm not sure it's one I would have in the Hall of Songs necessarily, but it was to me a no-brainer for 89 to be on the ballot. So I'm glad that it's going to stick around.
Yeah, as I said, I think in the last election show that we did, recap show, that rap has been represented pretty well with Fight the Power getting in now. I think that makes sense. We had Straight Outta Compton, we had It Takes Two, and Walk This Way. I think that's it for rap, but that's been a pretty good showing. So Me, Myself, and I didn't think would probably do extremely well, but good to see it stay on. I don't really have any big thoughts about this group because I kind of felt like the top songs were going to be the top songs, and that's how it shook out. Maybe the one thing I am surprised about is There She Goes, still hanging on after two turns. I mean, that's really cool to see that song start. I mean, funny enough, it's not even popular until like 1991. So we're almost getting to the point where it's actually popular, but keeping it on the ballot there, which is cool. So Chris, that leads us to the songs that are off the ballot completely. They did not get the 35% support requisite to keep it on, so they will be taken off. Why don't you give us the first couple in this list?
All right, the ones that got 20%, but less than 35. Head Like a Hole by Nine Inch Nails, 1989. Pump Up the Jam, also 1989. Technotronic gets booted in its first year. The Power of Love by Huey Lewis and the News, alas, the song that I associate with my wedding, finally getting off the ballot at after its third year. It was a Veterans Committee pick. And Back to Life, Soul to Soul, 1989. Sad to see that one go. It's funny that one, since we did the episode, has been stuck in my head more than many of the other ones. And I mean that in a good way. It's like that sort of, I really sort of enjoyed going back and listening to that one again.
If there was any song from this entire group that I thought would stay on the ballot, that would have been it. Yeah. I mean, look, the song that associated with my wedding, You Are the Sunshine of My Life by Stevie Wonder, never got into the Hall of Songs. So crushed by that. But also the other song from my wedding, and I mentioned this on Twitter recently because we did the episode with Libby Cudmore, the bonus episode about the worst songs of the 80s, quote unquote. Very off the rails fun episode. You should go listen to that. But the other song that I affiliate with my wedding is, funny enough, a song that Libby talked about, Starships, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us Now. I made a wonderful supercut video where I had Sarah's family and friends all sing the song, and I gave them parts to sing, and they sang it, and I put it all together. It's a great video. It exists somewhere in the ether. I'm not going to point anybody to it, but we never nominated it. So you know what? At least you got the Power of Love on, and I'm not putting it on the Veterans Committee. So don't get your hopes up, America. But yeah, I don't see anything else here. That's crazy.
All right, so take us home. What are the last couple songs that are not going to reappear?
Getting under 20% support, we have My Prerogative by Bobby Brown from 88. I Want to Be Adored by the Stone Roses from 89. And bringing up the very rear, ugh, you guys, you voters. From 88, She Drives Me Crazy by Fine Young Cannibals. Oh, I love that song. Funny enough, you know, we put all of our picks, the nominees for the upcoming episode, on a list. So the 1990 nominees we put on a playlist on Spotify. You do that, Chris. And it gives me a chance to listen to all the nominees in order before the show gets going. And the last, so we, you talked about this in the bonus episode. After the playlist ends, there's always another song that comes on that is reminiscent of the playlist, right? It's like the next song that the algorithm picks. I listened to the whole playlist, and the next song that came on was She Drives Me Crazy by Fine Young Cannibals. So it was Spotify telling me that we'd made the right choice by making it a nominee, but maybe also that it should have been figured a little bit better by the voters. It's okay.
Yeah, I think one of the times I did it, the one that it went to for me was actually Back to Life, which is funny. So it was, you know, similar algorithms, but picking up things that we've listened to before, probably.
If anybody at Spotify is listening to this podcast, please, like, get us more visibility on Spotify, okay? Can you put in a word with Bill Simmons so the Ringer can buy us like they did Bandsplain? Come on.
If you like music, you will like Hall of Songs.
Yes, that's it. Music
just
exists.
Any song, doesn't matter what it is.
Music exists, and it's right here on this podcast, man. All right, so that is the group, that is the list, that is the results. So again, Free Fallen by Tom Petty and Fight the Power by Public Enemy are the newest members of the Hall of Songs. The next election, our 36th election, that will start on September 25th. It will go until October 2nd. October! Whoa! And the songs that are going to be on that ballot, to start at least, are True Colors by Cyndi Lauper, Express Yourself by Madonna, Rhythm Nation by Janet Jackson, Cult of Personality by Living Color, Into the Groove by Madonna, Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode, Wicked Game by Chris Isaac, Me, Myself, and I by De La Soul, There She Goes by The Laws, and The Dance by Garth Brooks. So all of those songs, that, what is that, a 10-song group there? They are going to join our 1990 nominees that we will announce our next episode, September 25th, and that will be the next ballot. So it'll be a group of 20. It'll be a group of what? 22 songs. That's not bad. That's kind of, it's like where bad. We want to be.
Yeah. Good opportunity to get some more songs in.
Thoughts about these songs here? I mean, like you said, maybe there's an opportunity for one of these 10 from previous ballots to get in. Is there any that you're kind of looking at? Express Yourself, Rhythm Nation, probably.
Nothing shocking. Yeah, I think the ones that are up at the top, True Colors, Express Yourself, Rhythm Nation, Cult of Personality. I'm really curious. I mean, obviously, I know what's going to be on the 1990 list. And really, it's going to be interesting to me to see how voters react to some of the songs that are on there. Like, there might be an opportunity for some of these songs to sneak back up.
You said nothing shocking. Jane Says is off the ballot already.
Sorry. Yes.
Just making sure you remember that. Okay. Again, next episode, September 25th. That'll be 1990. Chris, let's talk about things that we have to talk about. First off, you guys listening, if you want to get us more listeners, maybe get us to Spotify, maybe beat Bandsplain for once. How do people spread the word, Chris?
Well, tell people where to find us, which is really any place that you can find podcasts. Hit us up on Twitter. We are at Hall of Songs. You can find us on Instagram, also at Hall of Songs. We have a Facebook page at Hall of Songs. Email us at hallofsongspod@gmail.com to tell us what we missed. But rate us and review us on all of the apps. We like it if you do it on the Apple Podcast app. Go find us there. Give us a 5-star rating. And also, please take, 30 seconds, write us a review, because that does help more people who are Googling, who are searching for podcasts, to find us.
And let's thank the people who do good stuff for us. First, Stock Music Media for the theme music. Hey, this is
last
episode with our 80s theme, our 90s theme. I'll just give you a little hint for that. It's our longest theme yet. So we're going to play it in full for 90. I don't know if I'm going to play it in full in every other episode beyond that, but we'll see. And thank you to Aaron DeLashmut of Piper Down Productions. He does our logos. He does the guitar pick plaques that signify each of the Hall of Songs inductees. It's on our website. He also has a bunch of merch for Hall of Songs on his Redbubble store. Just go to Piper Down Productions and find all that stuff there.
So can I say, my wife was in London last weekend visiting a friend, and a good friend of ours who has written to the podcast and interacted with us on email and Facebook and things like that. She walked into their house and he was drinking his tea from a Hall of Songs coffee mug that he had ordered from Redbubble.
I know who that is. good guy. I thought you were going to say that your wife just like was walking down the street or something and someone was wearing the Hall of Songs miniskirt.
That would be awesome. The Hall of Songs miniskirt is.
Would have been amazing.
She walked into the hotel in Edinburgh and what did you see with the Hall of Songs duvet cover?
Queen's funeral is going on and there's someone wearing the Hall of Songs fur coat, All right, next episode is September 25th, 1990. Please get ready for that. We will then open voting. That'll last until October 2nd. That's what we do. Thanks for listening. This has been Hall of Songs. I'm Tim.
I'm Chris.
Prove me wrong.